96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton. She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory.
Donald Trump last night claiming victory in a hard-fought campaign for the White House. Supporters woke up elated after hearing of a president-elect Trump. Clinton voters, particularly black Clinton voters, expressing a range of feelings from depression to worry to anger. What's that about? What impact could it have 72 days from now when Donald Trump is sworn in? We're talking about it tonight. My guests are Deborah Simmons with The Washington Times, Dr. Michael Fauntroy, political science professor here at Howard University, and Drew Elands, political commentator. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Comment on my Facebook page, facebook.com/HaroldFisherWHUR, or Twitter at HFisherWHUR, or at DailyDrumWHUR. Hello, gang. Everybody's bleary-eyed and after a really late night. Let's get right into it. Deborah, why did Donald Trump win? Why did Hillary Clinton lose?
Okay, let's start with Trump, as you did. He was a messenger and was making, forcing, engaging, urging, encouraging a lot of folks to focus on the messenger for a year and a half. And the past few weeks, he's calmed himself down and had and so that people could hear his message. There was a lot of noise out there that he was anti-immigrant, anti-this, a racist, a bigot, a sexist, a sexual assailant, and all of that. And he calmed himself down and had people listen to his message. I think on Clinton's side, she did what the Democratic Party has been doing, particularly with the black vote since the early to mid-60s, and she took that for granted. Yeah, she parted with Jay-Z and them in Cleveland, and she hung out with the boss in Philadelphia, and blacks have been in her corner all along, particularly black women, because it would have been broken a glass ceiling for sure. But I still think she took that for granted, and if you looked at the way the results were coming in last night, you saw it wasn't the inner city, urban folks who weren't voting Democrat. Mm-hmm. It was the folks in the rest of those states who had turned out in large numbers. And then there was a North Carolina unexpected low voter turnout that I still don't understand. Michael may know better, more of the nitty gritty on that than I do, but there was something about the North Carolina black vote that didn't work.
Michael, what do you think?
Well, two things. One, Hillary Clinton got 88% of the black vote, which is very much in line with what Democratic nominees get. Al Gore got 91%. Barack Obama, of course, was astronomical, so she wasn't far off on that score. North Carolina and Florida are, for me, the whole story, and here's why. Donald Trump got 29% of the Latino vote. Now, think about that in the context of this entire campaign and all of the vitriol back and forth. So I don't have the state-by-state numbers yet, but if he got 29% in North Carolina and 29% in Florida, then that's the whole deal right there.
Why?
Well, you know, listen, I've heard some interesting theories about that. One of which is sort of cultural, and you know I don't know enough about it to be 100% certain, but there are people all over the world who come here just as there are people from here who are not comfortable with a woman in charge, and so I think that may help to explain what this is about. African Americans turned out, but Latinos, notwithstanding the vitriol that they were receiving in for the last year and a half, from the time Donald Trump announced, they, you know, he gets nearly a third of their vote.
Drew.
So
why Donald Trump won is he spoke to the heartbeat of who America is. He spoke to the nitty-gritty, the ugliness, the nastiness of who we are as a country as it relates to racism and as it relates to sexism. He spoke to it. He spoke it plainly, and it made people, he normalized it in a way where people who we thought we were friends with, but we actually just grew up with, who really showed themselves who they are. Hillary Clinton did what she was supposed to do. Now, granted, the Democratic Party rarely puts enough money in outreach for the Latino vote or the Hispanic, or the Latino vote or for the Black vote. They don't put a whole lot of money in. But just as the brother said, we have actually, she performed like she was supposed to perform. In particular, in Florida, there's a very large Cuban community. Mm-hmm. And a Cuban community.
Established community. Yes.
And there's a split between the older generation of the Cuban community and the younger generation of Cuban community. And that generation, the older generation, is more heavily conservative. And they would have come out in any way. And they feel a certain way around Mexico. It's just like in the Black community, we have our own separate things. And
there's a class issue.
All of that. And so that is why you saw such a large number. There's not a big enough Hispanic community in North Carolina as is in Florida. And Florida did do that. But however, Florida overperformed in the Hispanic for Hillary Clinton in the Hispanic community as well as the Black community. They came out in numbers larger in 2012 than they did in 2012, both Black and Hispanic. To that point, that meant how he won, he overperformed in the GOP communities in Florida specifically, and in Pennsylvania specifically, he overperformed in the rural mostly white communities. He turned blue communities into red communities, and that is what it is, because he spoke to the heart of both racism and sexism. And you can be a sexist even if you are a woman. And to his point, yes, there are women and there are people who do not believe that it is time for a woman to lead.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the day after the election, President-elect Trump heading to the White House. Question tonight: why are African Americans afraid of a Trump presidency? Are they overreacting? Let me go to the phone lines. Let's talk to Omar. Omar calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling, Omar. What's on your mind?
Thank you. A lot on my mind. Today's a sad day for America. But what I want to say, the reason why Trump won, because the Democrats really did not have a strong game plan, you know, to counter the Republican. Republicans were throwing money. They were throwing tactics, voter oppression, different things. The Democrats, they just did not attack. The same state that she lost are the same state that she lost to Trump are the same state that she lost to Bernie Sanders. And they should have seen that as a red flag and put a game plan to attack those states where she lost to Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. and focus on them. But they did not do that.
Omar, thank you so much. Dr. Ferentura, you wanted to say something real quick.
They had a strategy. They've been working that strategy for years, and virtually every poll showed that the strategy was working until we got to the end when it wasn't. Sometimes the answer to our questions literally is what we initially think it is.
Right? What do you mean by that?
By that, I mean sometimes we try to make things too complicated. Mm-hmm. And we try to think there have to be a whole bunch of different reasons why things are the way they are. But you know what? This election was really about a backlash. It was about a gender backlash, a cultural backlash, an immigration backlash, and a racial backlash. You look at the states that Donald Trump moved from blue to red: Michigan, Wisconsin, Florida, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Missouri, even though it wasn't considered to be competitive. Virtually all of those states have one thing in common. Within the last 3 to 4 years, they've had significant racial strife. Mm-hmm. Okay? There was a backlash to that. Mm-hmm. And that showed itself on Election Day. And you add to that all of the other things that are going on. And understanding that in politics, we know that voters are more moved by fear and anger than by hope and optimism. You add it all up with a candidate on the Democratic side who had problems, notwithstanding her clear qualifications.
And she wasn't the most inspiring. Like I said, Barack Obama is a hard act to follow.
Yeah, it's no question about that. But you know what? And hopefully we'll get to this a little later. Do you want clean water? Do you need to be inspired to have clean water?
Exactly. I mean,
do you?
Especially post Detroit. Flint. Flint. Yeah, exactly.
You don't need to be inspired. You need somebody
who can get it done.
Yeah. Get it done.
My
exactly.
point is that, you know, sometimes you just need to make the best decision from the available choices. All right. That's what politics is. Mm. Make the best choice from the available options. And if you want safer streets or clean water or clean air, clean food, you got to make choices based on that. And so Donald Trump understood that there was a backlash that could be tapped mm-hmm. into. He did it masterfully. OK, notwithstanding all the other stuff, I'm trying not to go off on this dude right now.
Early in the show. And I want to talk about that going off. But let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Renee, quickly from D.C., what's on your mind?
Yes, I am an African woman, and I voted for Trump, and mm-hmm. I'm glad that he won. And the reason why I voted for him was, one, I looked at it at a biblical stance. I do not agree with using government funds to kill innocent babies up to the trimester. And second of all, I do not agree with the Clinton and Hillary Clinton. They're trying to redefine marriage. And with Trump, those two things is why I voted for him, because I'm sick of America taking us down to this perversity, this craziness, this destruction of families. Mm. And I'm just sick of it. You're saying that a man can dress up as a woman and then go into a bathroom where women are, and Clinton and all these parenthood people are saying, oh, it's okay. No. Some people don't want that.
So you're not a Tyler Perry movie fan, I take it.
No.
I figured as much.
And I'm happy about it.
Well, Renee, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Chico, calling from Silver Spring. What's on your mind, Chico?
Okay, first of all, I'm mad and pissed off and upset. I'm disappointed. I'm upset, but we got to pick up the pieces and move on as citizens. But,
turn your radio down, Chico. I've got a lot of folks on the line.
Okay. My question is, what's next for Trump? Is Trump going to fulfill his promises? Is he going to do what he did fulfill promises for disabilities? Is he going to raise the minimum wage? Is he going to make America great again, as he said?
Well, thank you for your phone call. And that's an interesting thing. Promises. All campaigns make promises, but when they get there, they find that there are some things that they very well may not do. Quickly, Deborah, your thoughts about some of the promises. Are we going to get a wall? Or are we going to see?
There's going to be tighter national security, of course, the military as well. And then there's going to be a wall. What that wall will look like, mm-hmm. how high that wall will be, and how wide that wall will be, we don't know yet. But there's going to be a wall, I think, okay? Because he talked too much about the wall. Which grabbed everybody's attention to him in the first place. The other thing is that, and I think this is important, a president is responsible for going to Congress and handing Congress a copy of his proposals in a budget. That's what they do. There's no magic wand, as we saw. We thought Barack had a magic wand that he could just wave after he became president and give us everything. That there is no such thing as a presidential magic wand. So he's got to work with Congress to get anything he wants done, regardless of what he promised up. The two important things that grabbed my attention, particularly from last night, was one that he said we're going to rebuild inner cities, though I hate that term, inner cities, mm-hmm. instead of urban America.
But just our
cities. And number two, he mentioned Ben Carson.
And so
none of the media today, when they were rehashing who was on the stage last night, they did not mention Ben Carson.
Hold that point. I've got to take a break. Tyrone from Virginia, Lisa in Gaithersburg, CJ in D.C., Michelle in Bowie, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in 15 seconds. We'll be back in just a bit.